pray much for prayer, and let's pray and give him a big welcome. Brother Ryan comes this morning to bring him.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, it sure is an honor and a privilege to be here.
Hallelujah.
I just pulled it today.
Yeah.
I just can't even express the words what's going through my heart right now.
Bless you, Jesus.
As I stand here. My family has a long history in this church, which you probably know of. My great-grandfather helped build this building. My grandfather sits here in this front row. My cousin preaches on a regular basis. He's a pastor here. Brings the Word of God regularly. And it is truly an honor and a privilege for me to stand here before you today. And this is my first sermon I've ever preached. And so you can imagine all the things that go along with that. My heart's pounding out of my chest right now. And my hands are clammy. They're a little bit cold earlier, but they've warmed up a little bit now. But I pray I'll just bring you the Word of God. Speaking truthfully to you, that's why I'm standing here today.
Amen.
So if I faint all over here and pass out or something, y'all just come up and sing the chorus of your favorite song while they provide me. Or if I have to run to the bathroom or anything like that, you know, y'all just keep carrying on. I'll let you come back. But
amen.
We'll get through it, that's for sure.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to open up the Word of God today. Before we do, let's open up with a word of prayer before we open up the Word of God. Father in heaven, we praise your name. You are worthy to be praised. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. The Alpha and the Omega, the bread of life. We love you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you for this precious word that you've given us. Father, it is perfect and holy and true. It is profitable for guiding us into salvation, Lord, and godliness. And Father, I pray for open hearts and minds, Lord. And your Holy Spirit would move through this room today, move through our hearts. Lord, that we would continue on, even as the word is spoken, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray for changed hearts today. Those who don't know you, to come to know you personally in their lives, Lord. And those that do know you, to recommit their lives to you, Lord, and live in holiness and desire to seek you, Father, with all their heart and all their strength and all their soul. Lord, I just pray you to be in this room by your Holy Spirit. Will come down from heaven. Moving our hearts now to be a word of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be reading from Psalm 14 today, so turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 14. David, known as a man after God's own heart, the writer of this psalm. It's a little bit about David. I grew up as a shepherd boy, youngest boy in his family. Didn't even catch the eye of his father. His brothers all grown up in the army, working in the army, had status and prestige and power. Little David, he was out tending the sheep for his dad.
Amen.
But it's out there in that, in tending those sheep, where he got to know the Lord. And he's called a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And there aren't very many people, as a matter of fact, no other person in the Bible is called a man after God's own heart. So King David has to write, and the Holy Spirit writes through King David in this word right here, I take it to heart.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. So read with me. Psalm 14. We'll start with the first verse, and we're going to read the whole psalm. It's 7 verses, so we're just going to read through the whole thing. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all the workers of wickedness not know, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the name of the Lord? There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion.
Amen.
When the Lord restores his captive people, Jacob will rejoice and Israel will be glad.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Praise God.
You know, David, he sees the world around him. And he observes keenly from what God is teaching him in his heart, that God is evident everywhere. You know, most people I talk to would say that they believe in God, or a God, or some kind of higher power. Most people wouldn't argue with that. But there are some that would argue with that. There are some people I have talked to that say God is dead, for there is no God. Well, I tell them, the word of God says you're a fool. It's plain and simple. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Well, why can David say such a thing like that? Because David looks all around him. He says the heavens are telling of the glory of God.
Amen.
Their expanse declares the work of his hands. Look around you.
Amen.
God is everywhere. He is evident everywhere. There are some people who believe in evolution or in the sciences. Well, I've studied the sciences. I have a degree in science, a bachelor of science degree. And the more I study science, the more I study biology, chemistry, physics, the more I study those things, the more they point me back to the truth of this whole world.
Hallelujah! Amen.
Folks, we are not evolving. Look around you. This planet is not getting better. This planet is getting progressively worse. It's not getting better. The fundamental laws of physics tell us that this place isn't getting better. They tell us that this place started good, but it's devolving. It's flying apart. It's what the physicists call entropy, which means things tend to go to disorder, fall apart. So that's why David can look around. He doesn't need a degree in physics to say, God is real, and the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And most of us here today would believe there is a God. Because we've seen him work in our lives.
Amen.
But then most people I talk to about heaven and hell, they'll tell me, well, Ryan, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, I have to tell them again from the word of God, there's no one who does good. How do you explain that? There is no one who seeks God, not even one. They have all turned aside. There is no one who does good, not even one. Well, how can David say that? You say, preacher, I've done some good things. Come on, I've helped my grandma cross the street, or I've helped a brother with a meal when they needed one. I've done some good things. But you see, you're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. The standard is holy, omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God.
Amen.
And compared to him, none of us are good.
Amen.
That's a hard thing to say. You say, preacher, that's a hard thing to say. But that's the truth of God. Compared to the holiness of God, none of us are good. Well, you say, I've done some bad things, but then when I do good, kind of offsets the bad things. I kind of have this good and bad bank that I keep. And I do more good than I do bad, and because I do more good than I do bad, I'm going to be all right when I stand before God. He's just going to take care of me because I do more good than I do bad. Well, friend, again, I have to tell you, but the Word of God says in Isaiah 64, for all of us have become like one who is unclean.
Right. Amen.
All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags in his sight.
Amen.
And all of us wither like a leaf. All our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Friend, nothing you do is good holy God.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way, see? If it worked that way, there'd be no reason for the cross. There'd be no reason for sacrifice and shedding blood. You see, in the Old Testament, they had the same type of mentality, and they would sacrifice animals to pay the penalty of their sins, because that's the way God prescribed them to deal with their sin. On a regular basis, they would go, and they would sacrifice an animal. Well, we don't do animal sacrifice. But a lot of us in our culture today have this idea that the good I do will outweigh the bad. Well, the bad news about this is that you have a bank account basically with God. You have a debit account for God for your life. And every time we sin, there's a mark against us on that account. But there's nothing you can do to take that mark away. No good deed you can do will take that mark out of that account. What does that mean? Well, that means we've got a big sin debt. We don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. There's a huge debt of sin on our shoulders that we cannot repay on our own power. There's nothing you or I can do to repay that debt. We're hopeless without the Lord Christ.
Right?
And that's what David is saying here. He says, oh, that the salvation Israel would come out of Zion. There's an exclamation point on that.
Right.
Because David's saying, oh Lord, the burden of sin is too heavy. No one does good, not one. Oh, that the salvation of the Lord would come out of Zion. Well, there's good news, David. It has.
Amen.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to dig into this a little bit more. It's the Apostle Paul writing in his letter to the church at Ephesus. And what he's trying to do here is explain to the church at Ephesus the difference between death and life in Christ Jesus. The title I gave this sermon is From Death to Life. Because there is good news, friends, family here. There's life in our Savior.
Amen.
So let's dig into his word here and see what he said. We're going to read through verse 3, and then we'll talk about that a little bit, and we'll read through verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn with me there. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Lust in your eyes, committed adultery? That's what Jesus said. So it's the thoughts in our minds. Paul said, take every thought captive. So you're guilty of it, even if you haven't done it with your hands. If you've done it in your heart and your mind, you're guilty.
Right.
Children of wrath, he calls us, even as the rest. You know what that means? That means that every minute you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, God is angry with you. Every second of the day, holy God, creator God of this whole universe, who made every cell in your body, is angry with you. I don't want to tell you, but I don't like what my daddy did to me. That's bad news. It makes me shudder. And he's just my earthly dad.
Amen.
Holy God is angry with me. When I sit and I realize holy God is angry with me because I don't know his son, that makes me want to do something about it.
Amen.
Well, there's good news. That's bad. I don't preach the bad news, not good news. Because there's real good news.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 4. But God, I love that conjunction, but. Every time Paul lists the bad stuff, there's the but of God. Because there's good news. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Hallelujah for that.
Amen.
Let's dig into that, because that's good stuff. What does that really mean? God is rich in mercy. You know that sin debt I talked about earlier? That debt is paid in full. Listen to me now. If the bank, the town bank down here said, if they put a note on the door and put an ad in the paper and started calling up everybody and said, listen, everybody that's got a debt here at this bank, matter of fact, anybody's got any kind of financial debt, you come to the bank today, on this day, at this time, all you have to do is sign a letter saying, I acknowledge the acceptance of my free gift, and we'll forgive all your debt. I tell you, they'd be lined up for miles. They'd be lined up for miles. They'd say, forgive that debt. Wipe that debt clean. God has done something better, hasn't he?
Woo!
Hasn't he done something
better?
Hallelujah, man. That's a financial debt. You can work your way out of that debt, but you can't work your way out of that sin debt.
Amen.
God has forgiven it all.
Amen.
He's paid it in full. His nails in the hands on Jesus on the cross, the blood shed on that cross, paid that debt in full for you. For you.
Amen.
And for me. And for everyone here in this whole world. But there's more. He's great in love. He created us. He loved us. John 3:16 tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his only Son.
Amen.
We're alive together with Christ. We have eternal life with him, and we have life here and now abundantly. I've come that I have life and have it abundantly. That's not just in eternity, it's right here.
Right.
Amen.
Since Jesus came into my life, I've had that in my life.
Amen.
I've not regretted it a single day.
Amen.
He's raised us up with him. Our place is no longer in hell. Our place is in heaven. He seated us with Christ in the heavenly places, is what it says right here. He will show us his surpassing riches, grace, and kindness. God loves us more than we'll ever know. I love my own children more than they'll ever know until they have their own children. And God loves us more than we'll ever, ever know. He's calling out to you. He's seeking you out here today. It's no coincidence, it's no accident that you are in this place today. No way. God has purpose for you to be here.
Amen.
And his purpose is to call out to you, to have his word penetrate your heart, for you to give your life to him.
Amen.
For all of sin, and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Woo!
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He's given you that free gift of salvation. It's not as a result of works that no one should boast. That is a key verse, my friends. Because if there were a result of works, any one of us could stand up here and say, look, I'm better than you. I'm going to heaven. You're not. And I'd be way at the end of the line. It's a free gift of grace. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. You know, I was 14 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. I was at a youth group meeting at my church. It was Sunday night. And that preacher was preaching on heaven and hell. And he looked me square in the eyes, and he looked around that room as he was giving his message. And he asked us right there, if you were to die tonight, and I'll ask you the same question, if you were to die right now, leaving this place, are you 100% sure you would be with Jesus Christ in heaven? And I've been playing church. I've been going to church. I've been doing all the things outwardly that someone would have to do to be called a Christian. I was going to church. I was reading my Bible. I was going on the morning. I was going in the evening. To the world's eyes, I was a Christian good boy. But I had never made that decision. And when he asked me that question, looked me in the eye, I didn't really answer. And right there, he told us how to know the Lord. And I'm going to tell you the same thing later on. And I went beside, went home that night, went down beside my bed, and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. I can't do it on my own. I want to live my life for you. Come into my life, forgive me my sin. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want eternal life with you in heaven, Lord. And I gave my life to Christ that night. And I have never forgotten it. Just as we sang the first hymn, I'll never forget that day.
Amen.
Brought tears to my eyes, because I will never forget that day. And I've never regretted that day my whole life. You say, well, preacher, what do I do? What do I do about this? You do something, that's for sure. Do you know him in your life? Have you ever given your heart to Jesus? Some of you in this room have. Probably a lot of you have. But for many years, if you're like me, I put the gospel on the shelf. I took the great, wonderful grace of Jesus, got my salvation, got my fire insurance, but that's where it stopped. I didn't live my life for him. I put the gospel on the shelf. I said, I don't need that anymore. That's just for folks that don't believe. I'm just going to go my own way for now. I started living out like the world. And that's when a lot of people look at the church and say, your church is a bunch of hypocrites. But I was one of those hypocrites. I was one of those people who would talk about Jesus, but I wasn't living for him. So if you're sitting in here today and you're like that, you do something about it.
Amen.
Absolutely you do something about it. This message is for you too. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We need to remember the chains and the bondage of sin that held us before we had the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus in our lives. We need to love the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our strength. And we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the two great commands. You do that today. You start right now. And you never look back. Don't put the gospel on the shelf. And then what you do, you go tell the world about it. You go tell the world the miracle of salvation Jesus Christ has given to you. That's what you do. Jesus said, you go and make disciples. He said, when the power of the Holy Spirit falls on you, you go and be my witnesses.
Right.
He didn't say that's just for the preacher. Right. He didn't say that's just for the evangelist that comes to town for revival. He said that's for you and you and every one of you.
Right.
Amen.
You know me in your life, you go tell somebody. So do that. Start today. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe he's changed you? Do you believe he's saved you? Then go tell somebody. Because it's real. It is real, my friend.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you don't know him, you need to give your life to him. You need to do it right now. You don't need to waste another minute of your life. You don't need to walk out that door with holy God angry with you. You need to settle it right here at this altar.
Amen.
The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Right.
You don't waste another minute. I read an article. There were some scientists who studied a native tribe in South America whose people have been dying prematurely for generations. After thorough investigation, the cause of the premature death was determined. The disease was transmitted by an insect that lived in the walls of their adobe homes. This new information presented several options. They could move to another area where such insects don't exist. They could tear down their homes and rebuild them. They could use insecticide to get rid of their homes and bugs, or continue as they have and die early. Well, many people, well, surprisingly, these people have opted to remain as they are and do nothing about their problem. Now, if you read that, and you saw that, and you met those people, you'd think they're crazy. You'd say they were fools. What's wrong with you? Don't you know you can save your life by using some bug spray? That's what you'd tell them. You'd sit around your coffee table and say, can you believe they did that? Are they just crazy? Well, unfortunately, many of us behave similarly. We know what we need to do to earn salvation. We know we need to give our lives to Jesus. They themselves, but they know what they must do, but instead they opt to remain unchanged. Friend, don't leave unchanged today. Don't remain unchanged by this message. You will give an account for this message you've heard today. The gospel has been presented to you clearly. You will give an account to God for this message. Don't remain unchanged. Now is your time to respond. Here's what you need to do. To do that, to invite Christ in your life, you need to admit you're a sinner. You need to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I have sinned against you, God. Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That means you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin. And that's where me and many of us believers have struggled. We took the free gift of salvation, but we never decided to turn from our sin and have Jesus be both our Savior and God. You need to turn from your sin. You need to repent. You must pray to Jesus that He'll tell Him you want to come into your life and be your Savior and your Lord. And you're resting on His blood alone for your salvation. You need to accept that free gift. He's reaching it out to you. He's giving it to you. It's a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You can't go out here and be a good person to earn it. We've already seen that from His Word. It's a free gift, so accept it. This is what Paul meant when he said, we're saved by grace through faith, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. God has given His grace to you. Now you must accept it by faith. And you can do that right now. The musicians will come up. We're going to have an invitation time. Most of us in this room need to do some business with God. We need to give our lives to Him if we don't know Him. Yes. If we do know Him, we need to come up here and tell Him we're sorry for not living for Him. If He knows everything we're doing, if God moved in your heart and told you you need to do something about your life today for Him, I want you to come forward right now and see this invitation now. Come talk to Brother Brett. He's busy talking to him. Talk to me. Come and kneel at this altar and do some business with God. Come right now. Already said today.